baseball answer. A big warm welcome to the best seat in the house that is Behind Home Plate. This is episode 21. My name's Johnny Gould. Lovely to have your company. And thankfully, I'm joined by my dear friend and fancy legend that is Mr. James Holden. Now, Jimbo, I know you're into your numerology. And if the number 21 appears in your numerology chart as your birth number, there are quite simply no negative connotations. It promises a life of fulfillment, triumph, and victory. Do you feel that this episode will have fulfillment, triumph, and victory, Jimbo?
I can't think of three words that better describe the Behind Home Plate podcast. I really can't.
Well, victory, fulfillment.
I don't think anybody gets fulfillment from fantasy baseball, do they? No.
No, absolutely. It's like,
for many things,
it's like
frustration.
The best of relationships, isn't it? That relationship that you're fanatical about, and yet you go through those emotional highs and lows. It's about living. It's about living. I mean, if life was just a boring mid-table mediocrity, it'd be as dull as dishwater. You can't enjoy the highs if you don't suffer the lows.
Very true. It reminds me, yes, we had a very entertaining email into the Behind Home Plate inbox this week, actually, from a young gentleman called Rolf. And Rolf was saying how much he enjoyed the podcast, and particularly Johnny's anecdotes into his personal life. And maybe Johnny might like to set up a sort of subsidiary podcast.
I saw that.
I saw you replied, yes. You
I know, did. Because he was making him, it was implying that I should set up one to sort of advise people on their love life, which is there's one thing I'm not qualified to do. But I did say that I've always fancied myself as a sort of Dr. Love. So that's been one of my great ambitions in life. So thank you to Rolf for just, you know, giving me the nod, giving me the confidence to take that one forward.
We get a lot. We did get quite a few emails, but that one really made me laugh. And we're very happy. Emails on baseball, fantasy baseball, or indeed your love life. Feel free.
Absolutely.
Keep them flowing. So yeah.
Absolutely. And for those listeners out there that do want to get in touch, the email is behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com. And of course, you can also contact us on Twitter at BHP Pod, or directly for me at Johnny M. Gould, M for Michael, or Jimbo at Jam99. Now, just before we move into what's happening on the show, Jimbo, I'm going to take this moment to do something that I promised myself I wouldn't do. I'm going to acknowledge the excitement and the satisfaction and the joy that I feel as your partner in the team that we've put out, the fantasy baseball team that we've put out in the Batflips and Nerds Invitational. As you know, there are 16 teams in it, ladies and gentlemen. It's a draft and hole. So you pick your team, massive squad of 40, and then you set your lineup at the beginning of every week, and that's all you do. There's no waiver wire pickups. There's no streaming. There's no trading. So it doesn't involve too much. So you've got to get the draft right. And we've had a fantastic season to date. We've literally been top of the table for, I'd say, 90% of the season. We're presently in first place, and I think we're about 18, 19 points clear. And for the first time in the whole season, Jimbo, as I keep everything crossed on an hourly basis, I think we can get there. I know there's 6 weeks to go, but I'm that excited. I think we can get there. And when you consider that Invitational League is made up of fellow podcasters, some serious fantasy baseball players, I will consider this. And I know you've done all the work and you've made all the decisions deep down inside. I know that, buddy. But as a pair, this will give me more satisfaction than any other fantasy baseball season I've ever experienced. Are you feeling confident? Do you share my love?
Of course not. I mean, the fact that we spent half of an episode earlier this season talking about Johnny the Jinx and the effect he had on everybody, and you've literally come on air 6 weeks before the end of the season to say how confident you're feeling has just left me feeling hollow inside. I would agree. It's been huge fun, and actually, as a combo, we work really well. And as Johnny knows, I kind of mull so many stats around in my head that I can't make decisions. So it was great fun. And I really hope it happens for both of us. But let's see.
I am your Ernie Wise to your Eric Morecambe. That's what it is, mate. So I'm the one with the short, fat legs, hairy legs. That's me. So we're cannon and ball. Not sure which one you are now. we're hail and pace. I'm probably pacing.
I'm all right with that. I'm all right with Helen Pace. Cameron and Paul is slightly before my time.
But yes, I'll, okay. Actually, well, while we're talking about leagues, obviously we should also reference our rookie league that we set up with this pod in mind for our listeners. For anybody that never played before, and we've got a league we're playing head to head. And I have to say to all our league members, I literally have never enjoyed a season more. This is the league that's given me total joy, even though I'm doing terribly. The banter on the message board, the engagement. And I know we lost one player, maybe we lost two, but the vast majority, 80%+ of those that are taking part have really committed to it, and they've been great fun. And as a result of it being so much fun, we've also discussed the possibility of a sophomore league next season for these types to come back and re-engage. And they all seem to be, I think 80%+ have said definitely.
They
yes.
all said yes, exactly.
They've all said yes. But also that we should do another rookie league for next season for our listeners out there that missed out on the boat. Are you up for that? Can we do that, Jim?
We can. I think it's been a huge success. And I think that's another sort of 15 people that we have playing fantasy baseball. Not everybody's in the UK. I think Rich is in Canada, but primarily UK. I think it'd be brilliant to do the same again. Another tranche of 15 people in a new behind home plate rookie league for next year. Yes, please.
So get in touch by email, preferably behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com, if you want to be considered for the rookie league next season. We're going to do it on a first come, first serve basis. That's the only fair way to do it. So the quicker you get in touch, the more likely you'll make the lineup. But you know what? If we get loads of people asking, we may even consider something, and this is out of the ordinary. We may even do two leagues. Jimbo, you can play in one, I'll play in the other. And then we can have potentially 30 new players, two leagues of 15. That would be fun.
He's getting overexcited again.
I know, but I am. I'm totally out of control.
And not least, you'll end up playing in every league.
I promised myself, I mean, this season, 5 leagues, too many. I've got to cut it back. And here I am adding another one. Anyway, not to worry. Right, let's focus on the show. We've got loads to look forward to. First batter up is going to be all about the MVP. As we know, lots of big hitting and pitching performances going on out there in Major League Baseball. Fingers crossed they're driving your fantasy team to league success. But the big question is, who's the greatest of them all this year? Who will emerge victorious, the most valuable player in the two leagues, American and National? We'll be discussing that. Our second batter up. Now, we've had more complaints. I know that's shocking to hear. Listeners demanding, literally demanding the return of Trust or Bust. We haven't done it for a while, so we're going to have a round of rest of season Trust or Bust, Jimbo. And I'm going to come up with a couple for you to consider, and you need to come up with a couple for me. And batter number 3 is always this week's suitcase. Key pickups for the week from Jimbo, and of course the Hail Mary, the impossible that you seem to achieve each and every year when you come up with somebody who's literally not rostered, who could make a difference in somebody's fantasy baseball lineup. All that on this episode 21 of the High Home Plate. So, kick things off. Batter 1. He's up and swinging, and it's the MVP. Now, the first thing I want to ask, Jim, first of all, how does it work? Who votes? Why do they vote? What are they voting on?
Well, yeah, the first thing I should say is who votes? It's sadly, you and I do not get a vote in the MVP.
So. Hey. Don't say sadly, because we'll have our own MVP, and that will be every much as an honour to those players that are considered successful.
I can imagine in the Shohei Ohtani household, only now they sitting there going, hopefully one day our mantelpiece will be graced with the behind home plate.
Hey, we didn't mention a prize. We haven't got a budget for that sort of thing. Just being acknowledged, that'll be more than enough for Shohei.
Just the emails. Dear Shohei. Absolutely. Maybe he'll print it out, put it in the downstairs loo or something.
Exactly. So when do they vote? Is the postseason included?
So although the award is announced after the end of the World Series, it's actually the MVP for the regular season. So all votes have to be in by the beginning, before the playoff starts. So in terms of who actually gets to vote, it's not by the general public. It's done by sports writers or statisticians in each of the cities that have a team. So in the American League, the 15 teams in the American League, each of those cities will select 2 sports writers to vote. So 30 people in total, and those 30 writers will select, each of them will select their top 10 players in order, ranked from first to 10th. Then in terms of how the votes work, for a first place vote, you get 14 points. For a second place vote, you get 9 points, and so on down to one point per 10th.
So massively skewed in favour of the first place team.
Absolutely. And I think that's really the key thing, kind of how, what difference is MVP voting from lots of other sports things. it's very, very unlikely. I mean, ultimately, in general, whoever gets the most first place votes typically will win, because it's so skewed about getting the number one vote. So that's how it works.
And what are they exactly voting on? Is it basically what we look for in fantasy baseball? Is it sort of five, you know, those five hitting categories or those five pitching categories, or is there other things that they're looking at?
I mean, to be honest, it's really opaque. I mean, I think that's the to me what makes it so interesting, or to a lot of other people probably makes it incredibly frustrating, that it's not really clear what it is, and it's quite vague. So it's really up to the individual voter to decide for him or her what, you know, who is the most valuable player. So, and actually the rules such as they are haven't changed since 1931. So there are kind of three things. It's about the actual value of a player to his team, that is the strength of the offense and defense, the actual number of games played. So I think it's quite hard, you know, Mike Trout will not be winning the American League MVP this year, he hasn't played enough. And the one that I think is my favorite one of the three criteria, the general character, disposition, loyalty, and effort.
We love effort. I remember JC saying to me on Channel 5 Baseball on numerous occasions that when it came to players that he chased and he supported and he loved, he always went for the gamer. That's his exact words, the gamer. He said the guy that wasn't born with as much talent as the naturally gifted, but sort of achieve great things in their careers because they work so damn hard at it. And I'm with him. I'm 100%. I'm a gamer every time. I'd rather have a gamer in my lineup than somebody who's, you know, born with real gifts who doesn't necessarily take advantage of them. Okay, well, let's have a look at this year's contenders, Jimbo, and we'll start in the American League. I mean, is there any point? I mean, it's a two-horse race, and one of those horses is an odds on. And I'm talking Shohei Ohtani, with only Vlad Jr., I personally think, is the only one you might consider if Shohei was to stumble in the last month.
Yeah, I think the bookmakers absolutely would agree with you, Johnny. So I think since the All-Star break, it's been those two are becoming a long way clear. I mean, there are other people in the race. So Marcus Semien, Rafael Devers, Matt Olson, Jose Altuve, Xander Bogaerts. I don't think anybody else bar those guys will get any chance. But there are other people. And should something very untoward sort of, you know, happen to, you know, Vlad picks up a serious injury, you know, hopefully not, Shohei gets involved in some mass scandal and is suspended from the league or something. And again, you know, God forbid that happens, somebody else could come in. But it's really like to be one of those two. And the way that Shohei Ohtani has been playing, and the fact that it's, you know, the pitching and the hitting, he's now increasingly odds on. And I think you'd be tough to vote against it.
Yeah, as it stands, I go with the odds as well. And I know, looking at the bookies, I mean, they're something like 10 to 1 on, I think, Shohei. I mean, literally, you'd have to put a 10 on to win a quid, which nobody in their right mind would ever consider doing. But I think that is, I think that's a sound odds. I think he's an absolute shoo-in. National League, perhaps not so obvious, although it was very much a two-horse race, and again, pitcher v. hitter for a long while. It seemed, would it be Jacob deGrom? Would it be Fernando Tatis Jr.? And particularly after Ronald Acuna Jr. was injured and obviously a season-ending injury. But now, it's not quite so clear because, well, one, Jacob deGrom, I don't think he's coming back, certainly not before the end of the regular season. So that presumably puts him out because he's missing the whole second half. Fernando Tatis Jr. has also had some injury issues. So has that opened up the market? Is it a much more open market in the National League for MVP?
It really has. I mean, certainly if you've come at the All-Star break, it was just those two, as deGrom and Tatis and Miles Clare. But actually, Tatis's injury as well has opened up. So for the last month, there have been kind of three players up there vying with each other to take home. So it's Fernando Tatis, Bryce Harper, and actually one that maybe surprised me, although he's done exceptionally well this season, which is Max Muncy. But I do think Tatis's return once again from the injured list and the fact that he's hitting homers for fun again, you often sort of refer to him as a genuine five-tool player, which I think he absolutely is. I would be surprised if Tatis stays fit to the end of the season. I think the award is his. If he's out injured again by the end of this week, then I think going back to that games played, I think Bryce Harper would be in a really, really good position. I think he's been very underestimated this season. But I think it's one of those. But there are other people having good seasons too in the National League.
Well, it's interesting because I'm just looking at the odds that they're setting in America, and he is odds on, but he's only 3 to 1 on. Tatis. I mean, that's still pretty short, so they obviously think he's a shoo-in. Bryce Harper, 9-2. Max Muncy, about 9-1. And quite decent odds elsewhere. Trey Turner, 17s. Freddie, 17s. Castellanos, who admittedly has gone a little off the boil since the All-Star break, 50-1. And my personal favourite, coming from nowhere, 50-1, Joey Votto, who, as we know, is hitting home runs for fun. And we all love Joey. But, I mean, he's about 104. He couldn't have possibly have imagined he was going to be in the MVP race at that stage.
I think, yeah, age 37, Joey Votto is having a fantastic season. And I think, you know, we talk a lot about kind of long contracts never working out, and you're paying paying in the early years, you get the performance, you pay for it in the later years. So I think if I'm Cincinnati, I'm delighted that my massive investment in Joey Votto, he's still delivering age 37. So I think it's a great story. And I think he will get, I don't mean a vote of sympathy, but I think, I imagine he will get somebody's, you know, on every ballot, he will get some votes. And I'd be astonished if he doesn't end up as a top five NL MVP candidate at the end of the season.
I often wonder if they vote very much is skewed by what's happening sort of more recently. So certain players were a lot better at the beginning of the season, but perhaps went a bit cold towards the end. Would that impact, even if their overall numbers are better than somebody who's hot towards the end of the season? Be very interesting to see. We'll do our own vote. Right now, I can't see anybody outside of Shohei and Tatis, both odds on. If you are a betting man, you're going to have to put them together and have a double. And even then, I don't think you're getting any kind of value that makes it worthwhile. But it'll be an interesting one to look at. Okay, let's move it on. Batter number two, he's up, ready to swing. And this, of course, we define as trust or bust. I'm going to ask you to start, Jimbo. What's the first one you've got for me?
So a couple of, I think we've got two each, haven't we? So the question for you, trust or bust, yep. Jacob deGrom's right elbow and forearm, to be honest. But effectively, do you think Jacob deGrom will get back and help guide the Mets to the National League East Championship?
You're a meanie, because you know you're asking me this, and our listeners won't know this, but I took a risk in our second half of season auction league that both of us play in, and I picked him up about, I don't know, it was about fifth round, I think it was, on the basis that I thought he'd be back by the beginning of August. Friday, August the 13th, they informed us that he will remain shut down from throwing for at least two more weeks after being re-evaluated. He'd gone through an MRI that revealed reduced inflammation in the elbow, but the injury still required more time to heal. Latest announcement is today. That is, of course, Wednesday, the 18th of August. And he was told after his doctor's appointment that the inflammation is improving, but they're going to keep him shut down from throwing until August the 27th. Now, on that basis, he is going to require certainly quite a lot of bullpen effort, and then perhaps even a minor league outing or two. Genuinely, buddy, best case scenario as it stands, he comes back for maybe one, two max starts before the end of the regular season. And obviously with all fantasy leagues ending before the playoffs, I think he's a bust, mate. I just don't see it being anything other than, and I took a risk, and unfortunately the risk has backfired on me.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree, sadly. I have to go on a couple of teams in keeper leagues, and he's an exceptional pitcher, and when he has pitched this year, he's been stunning. Really, really, really stunning. And I know we're Atlanta Braves fans, but you have to feel for the Mets, really. I think they had so many things that could have gone right this year, and so many things that have as ever gone wrong. Your ace pitcher out for this long, it's very difficult. But they've had so many injuries, so many batters out injured, and to be honest, so many people off form. And there was a bit of Steve Cohen, their owner, was on Twitter today kind of saying a few negative things about the hitters, and I know not all the fans appreciated that, although some absolutely did. But I think it's quite tough to be a Mets fan this season. I think you kind of really, the hopes were high, weren't they?
Yeah. And it's certainly, if recent form is anything to go by, I think it's now a two-horse race between the Braves and the Phillies. But that's for another conversation. Now, trust or bust, lot number two. This one's me making it up for you, Jimbo. The New York Yankees, will they make the playoffs? What are their chances? Trust or bust?
Great question. I mean, we've talked so much about Boston, haven't we, really, this season? And considering, you know, the size of the Yankees and their story, you know, incredibly storied franchise, we've talked very little about them from both a fantasy point of view or a baseball point of view this season. But they've kept on steadily going. I think they've made some good purchases at the trade deadline. Joey Gallo's looked really solid in the outfield. And, yeah, they're looking good. I mean, I think the bullpen is a bit bit worrying compared to how it's been recently, if Haroldis has slightly lost his mojo. But yeah, as Boston collapsed, New York are just sort of steadily playing on, and yeah, they're in the playoff, they're in the wild card seat at the moment, and I think they're looking good. You?
I 100%. They are top of the wild card chase. They've won their last five games, 7-3 last 10. They've hit form when it matters. I think they're getting their health. If they can get Chapman back to tie up the bullpen and close things out in the ninth, I think that'll make a big difference. But Boston are still very much in the hunt. They're only just behind them in that wild card chase. So it's not a foregone conclusion, but they have a habit of timing their runs, don't they, the Yankees? And I sort of feel they've just hit a vein of form that will carry them through. So I'm a trust on that one. I'm going to go with trust.
Very good.
Over to you. What have you got for me next?
Right. Okay. I'm quite pleased with this question. That is quite clever. Sorry, it's not quite clever. It's quite complicated, I should say. It's not very clever at all. Okay. We talk a lot about kind of individual milestones, and we talk, you know, 100, getting to 100 RBIs, getting to 20, 200 strikeouts, etc. But two of the big ones, both for fantasy and real baseball, are kind of that 50, the barrier of 50 home runs,
yeah,
and 50 stolen bases.
Yeah.
So do you trust that this season, both the 50 steals barrier and the 50 home run barrier will be breached?
Oh,
any players in MLB, not any person doing both, but do you think either of those,
right,
either of those? Yeah.
Okay. If you're asking, do I think both will be breached?
Yes.
I'm going to go bust. And the reason I'm saying that is that I do believe the 50 stolen bases barrier will be breached. I do believe that either Starling Marte or Whit Merrifield, assuming they stay healthy, will get there. Merrifield's on 34, I think. Marte on 33. So they're 16, 17 respectively shy. And I think they're both stealing, particularly Marte with quite consistent regularity. And they've got, what, another 6 weeks to go in the regular season. So on that basis, they only need a couple of weeks and they're going to be right on top of it. So I think there's a good chance that will be buzzed. I just don't see the 50 home run. You know, it always makes me laugh. At the beginning of the season, you think, God, two seasons in, he's on route for a 60, 65 home run season. And then they don't even get the 50 because, as we know, it's an incredibly long season, 162 regular games, dog days of August. You look at the leaders, you know, significantly out in front is Shohei, who obviously is knackered, one, single-handedly carrying the Angels, two, having to pitch as well and pitching very well. He's slowed down. He's on 39. He needs another 11. I just don't see him getting those 11. Vlad, who's in second place on 35, he's not hitting with the fertility more so than he was prior to the All-Star break. So he's got another 15 to go in 6 weeks. Ooh, not sure. So I'm going to say bust. I don't think anybody will get to 50 home runs.
Interesting. Yeah, I might go the other way. I think I agree with you. I don't think both will be. And certainly, yeah, as you talked about, it's a long season. I think we forget playing, you know, almost every night for 6 months. The toll that has on you physically it is exhausting. So I think it's mathematically, well, more than mathematically, it's certainly possible, but I'd be surprised. I might almost go the other way, actually. I kind of might almost go that I think somebody could go on a tear in the same way as Luke Voigt did last season and got kind of 20 home runs in the last 6 weeks of the season. I think that's possible. I think Merrifield will be hard. But as you say, Starling Marte, he's stealing a lot and Oakland are letting him run. So it's possible. But I think one of those barriers will be reached, but not both. And I'm not sure which one.
So, as ever, sitting on the fence, massive splinter.
You know me. Yeah,
if there's never make a commitment. You're Mr. Splinter. All right, I've got one last one for you, and I think you're going to love this. Okay, after all the expectations, and how many times did we discuss this preseason and after the beginning of the season about the San Diego Padres, how much they enhanced their lineup, their pitching was excellent, and we had them as a shoo-in for the wild card. And they've been in the wild card slot all season. But here's the question. Will they miss out on the wild card? Mm. Are they a bust or are they a trust?
I know you think differently to me. I'm going to say bust. I think they're going to miss out the wild card. And I'll tell you why. I think it's about pitching. I'm really worried. Yu Darvish is a player I absolutely love. I've got him as an ace in three teams, and he's been dire since the sticky stuff revolution, since the All-Star break. He's been rocking an ERA of above seven. It's been awful, and I hate it. Blake Snell is incredibly erratic. I just don't know where the pitching is going to come from that's going to get them where they need to do. They're not in a great load of form at the moment. They've still got games against the Giants, still got games against the Dodgers to come. They've got some tough games. And coupled with that, Cincinnati Reds, 1.5 games back in the wild card race. St. Louis, just 4 games behind them in the wild card race. The Phillies, just 4 games, 4.5 games, I think, behind them in the wild card race. The teams are bunching up behind them. And, you know, they are not the team that's on a roll. You talked about the Yankees earlier being on a roll. They're not the team on the roll. Go on, tell me I'm wrong, because I know you love the Padres.
Yeah, I mean, they're 2 games up on the Reds, who actually haven't played that well the last 10. I think they're 4-6. They're 4 games up on the Cards, who have definitely improved in the second half. But 4 games is a lot to make up. And then I just look at their hitting lineup. I mean, yes, their pitching is suffering. It's not what we expected it to be. But I just think they're so good. Austin Nola has been really hot for them as their catcher. It's not exactly a considered superstar yet. He's been really hot. Jake Cronenworth's having a career season. Adam Frazier is just getting on base. Manny Mercado could easily get seriously hot. You know, we know he's a top 20 player with the potential to be a top 10. Fernando Tatis, pretty much the best player in the National League. Yeah, you've got Tommy Pham is hitting well and stealing bases. I just think they've got enough offensively to overcome the deficiencies in their pitching. So I'm very much a trust. I think they will make the playoffs. And obviously, when I'm right, I'm going to remind you at the end of the season that yet again, I've got it right, you've got it wrong. Or you've sat on the fence, one or the other.
Far too many occasions this season when Johnny Gould has been right. It's
it's worrying, isn't it? The world is coming off its axis. Okay, Jimbo, that's great stuff. I enjoyed that. Always enjoy Trust or Bust. And if you want to get in touch with us and give us your view or ask us another Trust or Bust question, we'd love to hear from you. You've got the details and I'll repeat them at the end of the show. Right, let's move it on. Batter number 3 is ready to bat cleanup. It is, of course, a suitcase. For new listeners, that is a player that Jimbo has to come up with, hitters and pitchers, that are rostered in less than 20% of an average ESPN Fantasy Baseball League. So, who are you packing in the suitcase this week, Jimbo? Is there anyone left on the waiver wire worth having?
No, it is getting harder, definitely, but the suitcase is always here for you, JG. But it's good to see, actually, that all the people in the suitcase, almost everybody cleared out, is now rostered in more than 20% of leagues. So we're doing something right. But let's motor through. So starting with hitters, a couple of infielders. I'm going to give you, first of all, Tyler Wade of the Yankees, Yankees, eligible second base, third base, shortstop, outfield. Key for him is speed. 4 stolen bases in the last week. If you need speed, Wade is effectively covering for a whole host of injured players on the Yankees, and they're playing well and he's stealing bases. The other infielder, Dalton Varshow, another return to the suitcase for him, eligible at catcher, which is really helpful. He's got a home run and a stolen base again this week. And in the outfield, Lamont Wade Jr. of San Francisco, you know I'm a fan of his. He's back in the suitcase and hitting well. And I think something that will make you laugh, another outfielder, Connor Joe, the outfielder from Colorado.
Yeah. Last week's Hail Mary. You've done this before this season. You take a Hail Mary, you get everybody to go and pick them up, yours truly being one, and then the following, you go, oh, they're in the suitcase now because they've gone from 1% to 15%. So you're being lazy, young man. You're being lazy. You're taking an easy option here. But I have to say, I can't argue.
You've ridden the wave, have you not? Ridden the hot hand this week. So, yeah. So,
I have indeed.
2 more home runs for Connor Joe, 5 runs. What is not to like? Great player, great story. So really happy for him.
Hey, I'm playing in Colorado all week. I mean, that alone was the reason why I picked him up. So Anyway, pitching. What about pitching? That's hitters. And I like that. I've taken the notes. I might be going to have a quick look at Lamont Wade Jr. What about some pitching? A starting pitch. I'm really struggling, buddy. As you know, I'm trying to stream because I've done such a bad job across the board in all my leagues with my pitching this year. So I'm streaming like crazy. I can't find anyone that can produce any kind of a performance. Come to my assistance. What have you got for me?
Oof, I'm not sure. Yeah, to be honest, it is really tough. You're absolutely right. I mean, I think there's a lot of people at the beginning of the season. Remember, we talked about, you know, kind of maybe going with pocket aces, going, you know, starting pitcher to start their draft. And many of them, I think, will be chuckling away now as everybody else is scouring the waiver wire trying to find something. But I would say, in terms of a couple of things, one, Eric Lauer, Milwaukee. Yep. I know you've picked him up. I've got him in a couple of leagues. He's back from the COVID list and he's pitching well. So good player on a team, pitching well. And he has had a bit of a mini breakout. So really good.
Great shout, Jimbo, but not if a flipping manager won't let him pitch five innings. And it's really annoying me. He's being allowed to pitch 4, 4.1, 4.2. And here, by the way, a quick rant, and I'm sure there are listeners out there who agree with me, with these seven innings double headers with the change of rules, they haven't changed the criteria for getting a win. So even though it's only a seven inning game, starting pitching have to go five innings to get the win in a seven inning game. It's a nonsense. So somebody's being brought out after 4.2, who's pitched way over half, you know, and in terms of percentage, similar if not more than a player who's pitched five in a nine inning game, and yet Bob's your uncle doesn't get the win. It really annoys me.
It's just incredibly frustrating, isn't it, George? I think all of these Major League Baseball managers are getting together, maybe at the winter meetings, and sitting there going, how can we muck up Johnny Gould's fantasy team next year?
Exactly! Just do it deliberately to frustrate me.
And they go, I've got a good one. Why don't we go for the old 4 2/3 of an inning pitch trick? All right, fine. You tell me who he's got on his team. I'll sort it out. Yeah. Right. So the Eric Lauer and the other one I was going to say, just work those ratios now. So somebody like Colin McHugh, who I keep talking about, he's starting pitcher eligible. He's a reliever. Last week, another four scoreless innings pitch. So that's four strikeouts, just one hit. That's going to massively help your ratio. So he's good. A couple of closers I'll chuck in. There's always closers out there. Michael Givens of Cincinnati, he's definitely the Reds closer now. He's gone up from 4% to 16% rostered last week. Should be higher than that. And there are a couple of other ones. So Paul Sewald of Seattle seems to be emerging as the primary part of their closer committee. And Anthony Bender, who I think probably is emerging as the Miami closer, but not a great deal of saves to be had in Miami.
One other I'm going to mention, Tyler Clippett in Arizona. I know Arizona, terrible team, and therefore don't win very often, but fond memories of young Tyler, and at the moment picking up the saves for Arizona, although his ratios haven't been as good as they should be. But there's maybe one that you might mention.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very deep league. He's absolutely somebody you'd be looking for, yes.
Hail Mary. Quick reminder, this is a player or players that are rostered in 1% or less of an average ESPN league. So this is basically the absolute dregs. But Jimbo, the challenge for you in the Hail Mary is to find somebody that nobody wants, but actually there's good reason to pick up and they could make a difference.
Yeah, I'm quite happy this week. I'm not sure, you know, if I'm a Major League Baseball, I mean, just playing described by Johnny as the absolute dregs is how much that's like.
Well, in fantasy terms. Yes. Not as human beings. I'm sure they're lovely human beings.
We've gone from the MVP discussion to the absolute dregs discussion. So, but yeah, Hail Mary this week. I think it's quite an interesting one. A guy called Jorge Mateo of Baltimore, outfielder. If you need stolen bases, I think he's really interesting. He's a much vaunted prospect, originally at Oakland, and then he got traded to San Diego. They've recently let him go. But yeah, he's always had speed. He's always stolen a lot of bases in the minors. He's just never really made it at a major league level. But at Baltimore, he's playing every day. He's outfield eligible at the moment. He's one game away from third base eligibility, three games away from second base eligibility. That's quite interesting. And rostered in just 1% of leagues.
I'm loving that one. And it's not one I've noticed, so I'm going to go off and have a look at that as soon as we get off air. Well, that sadly is all we have time for. As I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, we've given you loads of potential discussion points on this week's show. So if you do want to get in touch, tell us your thoughts or ask us a similar question, then you need to get in touch via the email behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com, or you can contact us by Twitter. The show handle is @BHPpod. Or of course you can contact us directly on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @JohnnyMGould, Jimbo @Jam. 99. Thanks as always to James. And do keep those questions coming. James always sets aside a bit of time to answer them. And I know that his advice has been much appreciated throughout the season.
And questions for Dr. Love as well, Johnny. You're taking the your agony uncle column will be available soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm just slightly worried that Ed Stitchfield might be taking up quite a few hours on the couch. Young Ed, his fantasy baseball is suffering, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of his active love life, young Ed.
He's got himself a girlfriend, and it seems to be affecting his form.
Well, what was it? What was it? The Rocky movie? What did Coach say? Women weaken legs. I mean, it's true of everything in life. And that's all I can say to young Ed. But in the end, I think it's probably worth it. So keep us updated, Ed. We want to know how's that relationship going. And I'm loving the fact your team's bombing in the process, particularly since I need you to bomb. Right. Well, I'll obviously be back over the weekend. We've got the Johnny and Josh show. Great to know that we've got Josh back. We've got Dave back. We've got Eric back. A few of the boys were away for the last month. So we're back, the four of us. Do hope you'll be listening to that as well. We will be back, James and I, next week on Behind Home Plate, having some early thoughts on who should be this year's Cy Young Award winner. So if you've got any thoughts on that, get in touch. You've got the details, as mentioned earlier. Jumbo, anything to look forward to this week? What are you up to?
Well, I'm always loath to give you any insights into what I'm actually doing.
Why?
Because it tends to come back to haunt me. So this week, though, Johnny, I'm spending my weekend. I am attending the Purbeck Folk Festival this
week. Rock and roll, buddy. The Purbeck Folk Festival.
I didn't say I was performing. I said I was attending it. So I'm down in Dorset.
And to attend that, do you have to sort of not shower for a week and make sure you've got a beard and wear open-toed sandals? Is that?
I think, John, that's a very stereotypical. I think it's a broad church. There's a broad range of people. It's in an area of outstanding natural beauty.
Need to tell me that. You know that I know that part of the world very, very well. It's right next door to Swanage, where I made my last final stab as a professional actor back in 1994 in the sexually provocative production of Captain Pugwash. I was Pirate Barnabas. We were paid as a profit share. I made on average £16 a week over a 9-week period. I've never enjoyed myself more, making absolutely no money, walking up and down the beach of Swanage trying to persuade people to come in. And sod's law, of course, it was a wonderful summer, 94. Why would you go to the theatre at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when the sun is shining? Somebody didn't think this one through, but I love that part of the world.
I would have been there, Johnny. And I say, you know me, I like to be part of everything. As you know, I was at the Test match, watching England lose to India on Monday. I'm at the Folk Festival at the weekend. I kind of think life is a garden. And it's important, you know, to have a broad range of interests. So that's
hang on. This is not a broad range. You were at the Test match because you're a member of the MCC. You're sitting in luxury. You're having a boozy lunch. You're falling asleep with the games getting good. The rest of us true cricket fans, we're out there on the hard seats that are the bleachers. We're the true cricket fans, not you posh boys in the pavilion down the end with the MCC badge and tie and blazer. No doubt your parents put you on the list before you were even born. Understand what the waiting list is about 90 years or something, isn't it?
I love these images you have of me. Well, yeah, it's fun. We've known each other a long time, John, but you've never met my parents. Maybe we'll invite them on another time. Right, anyway, are we done, do you think?
I think I've taken the mick more than enough.
Is anyone still listening? Is anyone else? Yes,
they've all left the building, but they haven't locked up. Jumbo, as always, you're an absolute joy to be with, and thank you for your insights. You are the fancy legend.
And I should say, yes, good luck to Jonathan, everybody. Is actually off to Spain next week. I am
indeed. Yes, indeed. And as we know, I've not done a lot of that of late, which is why I'm getting a bit hyper on these podcasts. But yes, I'm taking the lovely Louise. The client has invited us both. I've got a massive event that I'm doing on the Thursday, but we're flying out on the Tuesday next week to Marbella. So I'm really looking forward to that. Maybe get a bit of sun, but it'd be a joy to be back in the sun.
That's amazing. No, it's brilliant. I'm really pleased with you. And yes, I hope you raise many, many thousands of pounds for very valuable causes as ever.
Thank you, Jumbo. Great stuff. Thanks for your company. Thank you to listening. This has been episode 21 of Behind Home Plate. They are, very simply, the best seats in the house. If fantasy baseball is your thing. From us all, till next time, stay well, stay safe. We look forward to having your company next week.